الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم صدق الله العظيم
وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: سيأتي على الناس زمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه، ولا يبقى من القرآن إلا رسمه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, we find that in the calendar of the Muslim Ummah, we know that one of the greatest months which has just passed was the noble and the blessed Mubarak month of Ramadan. Shortly after the month of Ramadan, we find that the days of Hajj commence. Hajj being a pillar of Islam, Buniya al-Islamu ala khams, that the foundation of Islam is based on five pillars. The most important pillar being the pillar of Iman, belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter we have the Salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, discharging of our Zakah, and finally the performance of Hajj. So we find that this great act of worship, this Hajj, comes very close after the Mubarak blessed month of Ramadan. And the ulama-i-kiram explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in preparation for these great days of Hajj, Allah made it such that it was very close to the month of Ramadan, because the month of Ramadan was for the purification of oneself. And hence those people who will have the good fortune of going for Hajj, then they will be in a much better position spiritually to undertake the journey of the lifetime, this journey of Hajj. For those of us who have not gone for Hajj, we should make dua, and we make dua that Allah takes each and every one of us for Hajj. Remember, it is not the one's financial power that takes a person for Hajj. Those who had the good fortune of going for Hajj, you would find people there who are in such a financial condition in terms of their weakness. They're not very financially strong whatsoever. But despite that, Allah had made it possible for them to undertake this journey of Hajj. The person says, how is it possible that he came? Which clearly indicates that if Allah wants somebody to go to those Mubarak lands, then finance will not be an obstruction. Allah will make the arrangement for the person to go. So the person should have the deep-hearted desire in his heart that, Ya Allah, I would like to perform the Hajj sometime in my life. Allah, you make it possible. Inshallah, Allah will make the arrangement, will make the intizam. And even if the person did not perform the Hajj, but the intention was there, the desire was there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at that enthusiasm and that desire, and sometimes Allah ta'ala gives the person that entire reward, despite not even having had the opportunity to perform the action. That is a topic in itself. So these days of Hajj now, which we are coming to, and these blessed days now close to the days of Qurbani, this is a very important and significant event in the Muslim calendar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this amal and this action alive till the day of Qiyamah. That every single year the Muslims will commemorate the Qurbani, what we term as Eid al-Adha. That Eid which is in relation to Tadhiyah, sacrificing. And this is a very important component in the life of a Muslim. The ability and the willingness to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. This is the test of love. And the person says that I love you very dearly. So the proof of that love is that the person is willing to make some sacrifice for the sake of the beloved. The parent, the mother, she knows that now she is expecting. And now due to the love for that unborn child, she is willing to sacrifice her body. She's willing to go through hardships, trial and tribulations. And there are many women out there who are not willing to do that, and they simply opt for an abortion. They abort the fetus. But that woman who has got some love and mercy in her heart, she will undergo that challenge. She will undergo that difficulty. She will undergo that hardship. She will undergo that pain. And it is a period of sacrifice. And the mother makes the greatest sacrifices within her body. And of course, both parents are making a sacrifice. Sometimes sleepless nights for both partners. So that sacrifice, that willingness to sacrifice for the sake of the child, is ample testimony of the love for the parents for that child. A willingness to sacrifice. In the same way, we who claim to be lovers of Allah, we who claim to be lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes the person will even, you know, shout the slogan, ke may aashiq rasul ho. May Allah ke aashiq ho. I am the aashiq of Allah. I am the aashiq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we will say that, mashallah, the lip service is there. The words are there on the tongue. The tongue is bearing testimony to it. But what is the proof of this? There is a light-hearted story of a person who had a dog. And he claimed to have loved his dog very dearly. And so, his dog was about to die. So somebody was passing by, and they asked him, "Ke brother, what is happening? You look like you're very, very sad. You are going into depression, and you are crying so profusely. What is wrong? Can we help you?" He said that this dog of mine that has been my companion for so many years, and I'm attached to this dog. This dog is about to die now. So the person asked him that, "Now, why is this dog about to die? Is it because of old age, sickness?" He said, "No, this dog is about starving. It hasn't had any food. So it's about to die of starvation." Now the amazing thing is that this person had a whole basket of food next to him. So somebody asked him, "Okay, brother, now you have this whole basket of food, and you claim to love your dog very dearly. Why don't you give some food to the dog?" So he said, "You know, you see, these tears are free. The tears are free, but the food is not free." So this is the example of love that is confined to the lips. That the person says, "Ke main aashiq rasool hu. I am aashiq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am an aashiq, I am a lover of Allah ta'ala." But the person is not willing to make any sacrifices for the sake of his beloved. No willingness to sacrifice. This we will say is love that is confined to the lips. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who have the love of Allah that is really from the bottom of our hearts. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ That those who have got iman, their love for Allah is intense. It is not just love that is on the lips. There is an incident of one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was captured by the king of one of the empires. And he was captured by, along with his fellow colleagues, they were captured. And now, they were brought before the king. And the king said, "We are going to execute you." It is mentioned and it is recorded that a huge cauldron of boiling oil was prepared. In fact, in some narrations it is mentioned that the heat of this cauldron was so intense that even if a bird flew above it, it would simply die because of the excessive heat and the radiation that was coming out. And his companion and colleague was then taken. And he was thrown. In fact, they couldn't even be brought close by. They were catapulted into this cauldron of boiling oil. Narrations mention that when the body entered this boiling oil, The heat was so intense that the meat separated from the bones. In this condition, this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he began to tear. So the king was made aware that looks like maybe he's having second thoughts. You know, maybe he will forsake his religion. And this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was then summoned before the king of the time. And he said, look, are you having second thoughts that would you be willing now to accept our religion and accept us? He said, no. I am tearing and I am crying because I am looking at my companion and I am saying that how I wish I had as many lives as the hair on my body so that I could sacrifice each life for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why I am tearing. This is what we term as real deep-hearted love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we find that our love for Allah is so, if we may say, light and so artificial that the person will be willing to forsake his religion for a few rands. For sometimes one little hamper, the person is willing to forsake his religion. And the condition of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that they were willing to sacrifice their lives, but not willing to sacrifice any kind of disobedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Khubayb ibn Adi radiyallahu anhu, the noble companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was being executed and tortured, and parts of his body were being dismembered. At that time he was asked that, don't you wish that the Nabi of Allah was now in your place and you were safe and sound? His response is remarkable and it's recorded in the books of history. He said, I take the qasam of Allah, I am not even prepared to allow a thorn to prick Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I must be safe and sound. This is what we term as true love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And an absolute willingness to sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this qurbani that is coming up now very soon, where the person now will be sacrificing that animal, it is not just merely a custom and a ritual. And sometimes the person is not even willing to get his hands dirty at all. He said, where's the cheapest place I can send my money? I said, that country there, you know, one rural village somewhere, you can get it at a discounted price, the cheapest possible price, and he sends his money there or she sends her money there, and they're satisfied that they have undertaken the qurbani. Of course, in terms of the masla and the mufti, they will tell you that it is done, the qurbani is done. But this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about. Sayati ala nasi zaman, a time will dawn upon my ummah where nothing will be left of Islam except the name of Islam. Nothing will be left of the Quran Sharif except the script of the Quran. That spirit of the Quran will be gone. That spirit of Islam will be gone. That qurbani, there was a spirit to that qurbani. There was a feeling to that qurbani. That when the person took that animal and saw it in front of him, and he saw that a life is being sacrificed in the name of Allah, that there is a life right in front of me now, and this life is about to be sacrificed in the name of Allah. Is there a willingness in my heart to sacrifice something for the name of Allah? Something that's beloved to me for the name of Allah? Remember, we know the historical incident, but just to contextualize, when Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam was given the command in the dream to sacrifice his beloved son, and history, Ibrahim alayhi salam was making dua for a son, making dua for a son, making dua for a son. Years and years and years and years and years passed until finally Allah accepted this dua in the form of Ismail ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, beautiful boy who became the peace of the heart of the father. Father loved him very dearly. Now you can imagine that bond, that attachment, and now the son reaches that age where he is independent, where now, you know, the father now looks at that son, that this is my support. this son will now be there for me. He will support me and carry my name and, you know, those kind of things. At that time, Allah now gives the command, slaughter and sacrifice your son. My command on one side, your beloved son on the other side. Something beloved to you on the one side, and on the other side, the beloved command, the command of your beloved Allah. How do you measure the person's love? How do you measure? How do you say that you love this more than that? When there is a pulling from both sides, and now you see that one side is able to overpower the other side, that's when we can say that definitely we can say it is 1-0. You know, it's a higher score on this side or lower score on that side. Subhanallah, Ibrahim alayhi salam immediately was willing. And then he put it forward to his son. Inni ara fil manami anni adbahuka fanzur madha tara. Oh my son, I see in a dream that I am slaughtering you. What are your thoughts about this? What do you feel about this? Allah Ta'ala records this in the Quran till the day of Qiyamah. It's something remarkable. Ya abati, if'al ma tu'mar. Allah has given you a command. On this side is the command of Allah Ta'ala. You must immediately comply to the command of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Insha'Allah, with the will of Allah, you will find me to be patient. I will be patient. So now consider this. Ibrahim alayhi salam is taking his son. He has absolutely no idea that Allah will now, in place of the son, give the ram and not allow the knife to cut. He has no idea. In his mind, he is going to be sacrificing the son in compliance with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is teaching us a lesson of absolute submission. Absolute submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Islam is all about. Islam comes from the word istislam. And istislam means submission. Submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam places the knife, and we know what happened thereafter. Allah loved this action so dearly that He kept it alive till the day of Qiyamah. That I want every single ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to remember this great act of submission. This great willingness to sacrifice one's desires for the will and the command and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the spirit of Qurbani. And that is why we should get our children involved. We should get our families involved. We are very fortunate in this country. When Allah has blessed us with bounties, we should take advantage of these bounties. There are many countries in the world, even so-called Muslim countries, where it is very difficult for the people to perform the qurbanis within their homes or very close to their homes. There are some places where the abattoirs are in the countryside and the people have to, you know, book in advance and make phone calls, and all they see is the meat comes packaged after 2 weeks or after 3 weeks, comes to the door, and that's the qurbani. Yeah, alhamdulillah, we can get our children involved. They can see that life being sacrificed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are physically seeing it. There is a great effect that it has on the heart and on the body and on the mind. And this is that spirit of qurbani that we need to revive within our own lives, within the lives of our children, within the lives of our families. That are we willing to sacrifice something for the pleasure of Allah? Recently I had some youngsters, teenagers that came to the office, and mashallah, the father had brought up these boys in such a manner that he said, you must, despite the business that you do, that one day or few hours or in the week, you must go to the different Muslim organizations and see how you can help them in some way or the other. So alhamdulillah, the father has brought up the children in such a way that they must learn to also make some khidmat and some service, be of some service to mankind and humanity. Sometimes we get people sending us email that can our children come to the soup kitchen, that we want them to spend one day in the soup kitchen to feed the underprivileged. And see, when they're giving the food, they see that person that comes in, he's sleeping on the streets, he doesn't have any food. Can you see what he's going through? Now the person, it creates within the person that spirit and that feeling for humanity. As we had discussed in the previous bayan, that Allah has created us as an ummah that has been taken out for the benefit of mankind at large. Not only for the mu'mineen, not only for one's family, for mankind at large. Ukhrijat linnas. So coming back, respected elders and brothers, these days of Qurbani, that spirit of Qurbani needs to be revived. And if we can personify the spirit of Qurbani, that on the day of Qurbani, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, that when you slaughter the animal, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْإِحْسَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. That even when the person is conducting the qurbani, he should do that qurbani and try and do it in the best possible manner. That even though that animal is about to be slaughtered, then to shield the animal from seeing another animal being slaughtered. Ensure that the knife is absolutely sharp. Ensure that you have the entire procedure in order. So now the person makes sure that that knife is absolutely sharp. And when he takes that knife, provided the knife is sharp, and he passes it on the throat of that animal, then we see that the blood starts flowing. Many years ago we had the opportunity of slaughtering one cow. So there were people from the SPCA that were there to supervise the whole slaughtering. So that person from the SPCA had a white, nice white shirt with the sign there. So he's standing next to us. When we ran the blade through the throat of that bull, the blood started shooting out. So we also got nicely showered with blood, but his red shirt, his white shirt became red after that. So now the person sees that blood flowing, that blood shooting out. And the person becomes sometimes soaked in that blood, depending on the size of the animal. This is the example of our lives, respected elders and brothers. That there are many evil desires in our lives. Many, many evil desires. We have inclinations, we are human beings. We have certain bad habits and desires and inclinations. That spirit of sacrificing for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That I am not told to sacrifice my children and my family. But this evil desire that I have in my heart, I will now take this evil desire and I will use the sharp knife of taqwa, which alhamdulillah after the month of Ramadan is nice and sharp. Because I was fasting in the month of Ramadan and my taqwa now is super sharp. I will take this knife of taqwa and I will run it over this evil desire, the throat of this evil desire. Now what will happen? The blood will start flowing. The blood of one's evil desires. And when the blood of the evil desires begin to flow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sends down and rains down His mercy on that heart. One great arif of Allah ta'ala, he says, when does the sun rise? He says, the sun rises when the horizon becomes red. First you'll find the horizon becomes red. First there's darkness. Then you find a redness. And then you find the sun starts shining. He says, in the same way you find that our hearts, our evil desires and our nafs, it is covered by evil desires. It's darkened by evil desires. There's zulmat in the hearts. But when the person now takes that knife of taqwa and begins to sacrifice the evil desires, that I will not cast lustful glances. I will slaughter this year. I will shatter my evil desires. I will sacrifice my evil desires for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot give my life for Allah ta'ala. I cannot sacrifice my life for Allah ta'ala. But at least I can sacrifice my evil desires in fulfillment of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the blood will begin to flow. It's not easy. Especially for the young person, when everyone else is looking and the person is lowering his gaze. The person is staying away from those social media platforms. He is, you know, controlling himself. He is not chatting with the girls. He is sacrificing himself. There is a kind of internal pain. There is a kind of internal struggle within himself. But then you will find that the horizons of his heart will begin to brighten up. And the suns of the mahabbat and the ma'rifat and the ishq of Allah Ta'ala will begin to rise within that heart. And that person within his heart will start experiencing the closeness to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which, respected elders and brothers, if the person has to get the taste of the closeness of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the sweetness of that will overpower all the sweetness of this world. All the sweetness of this world will completely disappear. It will disappear. Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi Rahmatullah used to address the Mughal kings of the time. He said, oh kings, when you will die, you will leave everything behind. But Shah Waliullah, when he dies, he will take with him in his grave the sons of the Mahabbat and the Ma'rifat and the love of Allah in the grave. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, in these days of Qurbani and Hajj, we need to make an effort to revive that spirit of Qurbani, that spirit of Hajj. The Hajj itself, there's an entire spirit to it, that even if the person didn't go for Hajj, but he develops that spirit of Hajj, that Ya Allah, I'm also willing to go in that crowd and be absolutely a nobody, absolutely no one. In that crowd, mein toh kuch bhi nahi ho. Whether the person is a governor general, or is a prime minister, or is the king, or is a mufti sahab, or is a qari sahab, or is a doctor sahab, he will still wear the same two pieces of ihram. You won't be able to make him out from anyone else. He's like any ordinary person. All your special shakhsiyat and all of that disappears. Your khasiyat all disappears. Your specialities all disappear. You are like one ordinary person. And when the person looks at those crowds of people, hundreds of thousands of people from different parts of the world, all calling out, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, the person says to himself, Ya Allah, you don't need me. You don't need me. You have hundreds of thousands of millions of people that are there to call out your name. Ya Allah, I need you. I need your help. I need your nusra. I need your mercy. It creates within the person that humility, that humbleness, that fana'iyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take each and every one of us for Hajj, those who have not gone. May Allah ta'ala take us all for Umrah again and again to the Mubarak lands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to perform the Qurbani with that real spirit of Qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst we are able to perform Qurbani, there are many of our brothers and sisters who are living under such hardships and difficulty. May Allah alleviate their suffering. And may Allah ta'ala unite our hearts. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Brothers, there is space in the basement area. Those who are not finding any space upstairs, can go down as well, inshallah.